Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I have on the line also with me my co-partner, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
I know that's right. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, how you doing, sir?
We're doing well.
Praise God. We had an awesome celebration, 22nd year of the pastor, Dr. G, and 54 years of the New Birth Baptist Church in Northwest Washington, D.C. Had a high time in the Lord on this past Sunday. And we just want to, again, congratulate First Lady and Pastor.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
It's the last time.
Yes, indeed. We trust God that He got the glory. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God. Thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We were studying the book of Matthew in the 18th chapter, and on last Thursday, we were talking about Matthew 18:15 through Matthew 18:17, and we were talking about church discipline and about how it was important for the church to stand on the word of God, and that everyone came under the same understanding that the word of God is the final authority, and that in using the word of God, we should be able to find reconciliation with our brother and sister in Christ, that we should go one-on-one, talk to them, try to get an understanding and according to the word, and if not, go back with two or three other Christians, those that are mature in the faith. And then if not, then you would as the last result, come to the church, and the church would reason with the person according to the word of God. And if the person doesn't want to reason with them according to the word of God, then that person would be considered a person that is an unbeliever, that doesn't believe the word of God. And unfortunately, that person would have to not be recognized as a member of the church at that time. And instead, in his word, for us to be able to deal with things that come up in the church, because sometimes people want people to preach what thus says me or what thus says myself, and end up getting a lot of people confused and hurt, and some people are led astray because they're not following the final authority of the word of God. And basically that's what we were going through on last week. And so this week we want to pick up in verse 17. But before we go to, let's pick up at verse 17. And it says, and if he, this is Matthew 18:17, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And it's just getting to the bottom line. If a person is going to be a follower of Christ, or if it's just lip service. And a lot of times people talk a good game, but when they're presented with the word of God, and that's why it's so important to know the word of God, but when they're presented with the word of God, are they going to follow the word of God? And a lot of people will end up leaving the church. A lot of people will end up dropping out. A lot of people will end up not doing all that they talked about because they don't align with the word of God. The word of God will find you out. And once sometimes people are found out by the word, they'll find all kind of excuses and reasons why they're no longer going to be a part of the church. And I find that to be true in all churches. People, as long as it's going their way, as long as they can say and do whatever they want to do, then it's okay. But when the church or someone in the church confronts them with the word of God, ultimately, if they are not converted, if they're perpetrating a fraud, the word finds them out, and either they're considered not part of the church, or they just move on. Sheila G., what would have been your experience?
And it's important that we understand the reason why God has to have them to move on, because they can block the blessings of those that are lost. As we're talking about at the beginning of this chapter, that ultimately our goal, particularly in leadership, is to help draw others to Christ. And if someone's going to be a stumbling block to a babe in Christ and their growth by preaching something that's other than, or saying something or acting in a way that's other than what God wants them to act, God has to protect his babes, and he has to protect his sheep. And that's why it may sound harsh, but God has to remove that person so it won't block somebody else's growth in Christ. And what you find is a lot of people kind of intertwine in the church because they take God's word out of context. So in other words, they'll portray that they're Christian or portray that they're a believer, but they're actually manipulating God's word by taking things out of context to so that it can go according to what they want versus what God wants. But God, at the end of the day, wants his people to draw closer to him. And if somebody's going to be a stumbling block, he's going to have to remove them out of the way.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Well, you know, I agree with what Sheila G was saying, and it's true because, you know, the purpose of the church, it's not to be a playground. You know, it's a place for lost souls where lost souls can come and be healed. But, you know, we've got so much going on in the church that it's become a social club, and we're not really doing what the Lord wants. And, you know, to help people who have been hurt and they're lost, you know, the worst thing that they can do is to come into a church where there's a whole lot of everything but Christ going on. And then the other part of that, you know, the Lord wants us to be as peaceful as much as possible. But if you see a whole bunch of arguing and complaining, I mean, you know, why go to church to do that? You can stay home and get that And that defeats the purpose of what the Lord would have us to be about.
Amen.
Amen. And the bottom line is God wants us to follow his word and treat each other according to his word. And you know, he wants us to love each other as, you know, he loved us. And a lot of times people forget about that kind of love when they get in their feelings, get caught up in emotions. And some people like drama and whatever reason people have to keep something going. Like sometimes people just like to keep something going, keep something going, keep something stirred up. A lot of times people will say something just to stir it up, just to get a group or something going on to have, you know, they get a thrill out of that, not realizing the damage that can be done. But ultimately, when we, and this is important when we look at this next part, these next scriptures, when we line up with the word of God and do what the word of God says, basically what's happening is his will is done. And that's when Jesus came. He didn't come to do anything else but to do the will of his Father that sent him. And so by learning the word and knowing the word, and so when situations come out where you might have aught with your brother might have aught with you, that's not the will of God. And so this is why I say this is important when it comes to the next verses. The will of God is that we would love each other as Christ loved. We would love him and we would love each other as Christ loved us. And so that's the will of God. And so when we line up with his word and do what his word says, is when we fall out with each other and we talk about it and we agree based upon the word of God who was at fault or who was out of line, then that's the will of God. And so what God wants is actually what is actually happening. And so when you look at these next verses where it talks about binding and loosing, basically binding and loosing in the word of God is basically that you are doing what God has already dictated or what God's will already wants done. And so when we lined up with it, when it says what, let's read these verses in verse 18. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." In other words, whatsoever you shall bind on earth has been bound in heaven, or whatsoever you shall loose on earth or has been loosed in heaven. And so basically, when we line up with the word of God and do these things, God is already bound that this should be done. God is already loosed that this should be done because he has given us his spirit and he has given us his word. And basically, we're just lining up with his will. We're lining up with what God has already said. We're lining up what God has already done. It's not like we're making up our own, you know, thing that, okay, I should go to my brother or I should go to my sister and be reconciled. No, this is already loosed and this is already binding in God's heaven. And in other words, it's already bound in heaven. It's already loosed in heaven that we should not live in unfellowship with each other. And so when we get back, when we follow his word and we seek each other's forgiveness, we seek reconciliation or order based upon his word, we're lining up with what God has already bound and what God has already loosed, Sheila G.
That's right, because he, God's word, he knows that we're human, so he recognizes that there are going to be times that we'll disagree, but he's putting it in there that we can disagree without being disagreeable, and he's given us the guidance on how to do that, which is to talk to each other, and if it gets to a point where you can't, then that person is just adamant that they don't want to do it in accordance with God, because our God, our Father, is a peaceful. Right. He likes peace. He likes love. And so that doesn't mean that we aren't going to disagree, but like you said, if we line up in the word of God, he'll speak to our hearts and let us know, oh, you know what, maybe you shouldn't have done it that way, and so that you can have an amicable conversation to move past whatever differences they may be in accordance with God's word.
And Dr. G, this next verse is, I think a lot of times people, they don't understand the excitement that should go with this, and that's if we get past our faults, if we get past our falling out or our unfellowship with each other, and if we're not in fellowship with each other, we're not in fellowship with God. But if we get to that point where we can put that aside and we touch and agree, what happens is, and we're touching and agreeing in the will of God, the exciting part is that we, when we are in the will of God, touching and agreeing, the sky's the limit, what the body of Christ can do. So I'm going to read that verse. In verse 19 it says, "And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And I think the devil, Dr. G, wants to blind us and keep us from touching and agreeing, because he understands that if we touch and agree according to the will and the word of God, anything, the word didn't stutter, it didn't say something, it says anything we ask, anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And I think we kind of blow through that, we kind of, you know, get on this, you know, binding and loosing, but we take it out of context. The binding and loosing is what God has already bound and what he's already loosed. And he's already bound things that would hinder the church, and he's already loosed things that would allow the church to prosper. That's why he put the discipline in there, so we can get back in fellowship with each other, back in fellowship with him, so we can touch and agree. And then when we're in the will of God, we can ask anything based upon the will of God, and God said it shall be done. Dr. G?
Well, you're right. And I think the key thing that we have to understand is that we have to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because, to be honest with you, as humans in our human flesh, we can't agree on anything. The only way that we're going to agree is that we have to be under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be a spiritual thing, because, and you're right, the devil, the enemy, he wants to keep us from growing, from being led by the Spirit, because he knows that if we get caught up, okay, we get caught up on Sundays, that's good, but we can't stay there. But if we grow in Christ, then we understand that we have to be led by the Spirit of God, and then once we do that, if you've got two or three people that can agree and they're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, powerful things can happen.
Amen.
But most folks can't do it because it's all about what they want.
Yeah, and again, this, you know, we put this in context, this whole chapter in context, and like I said on last week, a lot of times people are binding and loosing, you know, and they're trying to get people hyped up about if you bind this and you loose this. But look at it in context. Like you said, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will lead you there. I'm not binding anything and loosing anything that God hasn't already bound and loosed. God has bound and loosed these things so that his will can be done in my life or in the life of the church. And that's what we should be looking at. Not, you know, people stand up and make these prayers and these decrees and declarations based upon what they feel and not based upon what the Word of God says. But if we touch and agree in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit based upon what God says, two or three, he says you can ask anything. So there's nothing impossible with God. Every word of God is true, and everything that God says is true. And so that's the exciting part about it. If we would just get into the Word, if we would just learn to follow and be led by the Holy Spirit, to get into the Word, to know his Word, and know how to apply it, what happens is everything that God wants for us in heaven will begin to start manifesting itself on earth. In other words, God has so much in store for the church, so much in store for us collectively and individually as the body of Christ. But we have to line up with his word of God. In other words, he wants to pour it out, but we have the lid on the vessel. We have to line up with his word and allow his word to come in and do what it wants to do. In other words, we have to be in the right place at the right time in order to receive what God would have in store for us. But if we don't understand the word, if we're not led by the Spirit of God, if we're binding and loosing in our own stuff instead of binding, being bound and loosed in the things of God, what will happen is we'll miss the blessings that heaven has in store for us. That's what I'm saying is so exciting, is heaven has great and many blessings in store for us, but we have to line up with the word of God in order to receive it. And in other words, what I'm saying is it's exciting that God says anything. I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 19, it says, "And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." This is a powerful verse. A powerful verse that says that when I line up with the word of God, there's no good thing that God will withhold from me. And what God has in store for me in heaven will show and bear fruition for me on earth. Sheila G.
Amen. That's why Bible study and prayer is so important. You know, we always talk about being on one accord, because when a church and when people are on one accord, you talk about power to
yes.
break through any chains or anything. Talk about break every chain.
Yeah.
In order to be on one accord, you have to have that powerful prayer life. You have to have that powerful scripture life, even if it's something that you read in the daily bread every day, so that when we come together mm-hmm. collectively praying and agreeing on one thing and we're all on one accord, that will carry you
yeah.
through the next moment to the next moment, because the devil is sitting there ready to pounce at any opening that we give him. And a lot of times in our humanness, We don't catch it. He catches us off guard, and you know, we're thinking we're wrestling against flesh and blood, but it's not. It's the spiritual things. And the one way to keep the devil from blocking our destiny is through prayer, Bible study, collective prayer, and being on one accord.
Amen. And what I think we stay off on one accord is we don't realize that our fellowship with one another plays a part in how our blessings flow. And we have to understand that if I want my blessings to flow and not be hindered, what I have to do is I have to get in the understanding that God will tell me to leave my gift at the altar and go get things straight with my brother and sister. And so what that's telling me, Dr. G, is that I need to really, really understand that being out of fellowship is not a good thing for me with my brother and sister, with my relationship with God, and it actually hinders my blessing. And that's what I believe it was in the book, the fifth chapter of Matthew, we were talking about God tells you to leave your gift at the altar, go get straight with your brother, and then come back and bring your gift. Dr. G?
Well, you know, that you're absolutely right. And I think it's something that we need to really understand is that, you know, we want, how can I put it, we want everything the way that we want. Now, granted, the Lord said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But in our minds, an abundant life means money in the pocket, cars in the garage, fame, power, position. And we lose sight that all of that stuff is good, but all of that stuff will perish away. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not helping anybody. It's all about what we can get. And the material side of that, you know, you get that, but then we're never satisfied. But we
mm-hmm.
have to be concentrating on the spiritual. That this whole thing of agreeing and touching on any one thing, and when you are in the proper fellowship with your brothers and your sisters, see, that's the time
yeah.
that the Lord can come down and show off. To give you an example, see, you know, for years, my thing was I wanted the numbers to be where I wanted. And it wasn't
mm-hmm.
until I lost that I understand that it's not about how many people, but God is looking at the quality
right.
of what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
the worship. I mean, Sunday was a good example. We were all there. We were on one accord. Mm-hmm. And when we
Amen.
Are in one place on one accord, it doesn't matter who doesn't show up or who is there, mm-hmm. but God will use those that are
Amen.
There as long as our mm-hmm. thoughts are on pleasing him. It's not about our will, but it's about his will.
Amen.
And Sunday was a prime example. I mean, I'm still on the prayer line last night. People are still talking
Amen.
About the service on Sunday, and they've commented, Pastor C, on how you've grown. They can tell that
Amen.
Through your preaching and how you were, they just came, you were on point. You know, you said this, you said, and I've never heard folk like that go on and keep talking about a service and the love there. And see, then people are taking
Amen.
That,
Amen.
They're running and they're sharing. And then out of that, you had two young ladies that came, wanted
Hallelujah.
To read themselves back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When
Glory
we
to God.
Are on accord, see, the Lord can do his thing then. But when
Go ahead,
we got
preach,
these bishops
Go ahead.
And these preachers and, you know, we're doing all this binding and loosing and we're mm-hmm. teaching the people, you know, it's to edify self, not to glorify God. God don't need all that.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that we're trying to stroke our own egos to be lifted up.
Uh-huh.
And then when we die, then what? You know, I've been to funerals where the mates of some of these bishops, all they kept talking about, the bishop this and the bishop that. The bishop is dead.
Oh.
Now what?
Amen.
And so, and I think we lose sight of that. And no, you know, we don't, our people are not getting it because they're so busy trying to do it on their, you know. Bible study is essential. Having a good prayer life is essential. And then when we're going
Man.
Through, we've got something to fall back on. And one last thing, something that a lot of Christians do, when they go through something, they pull back from the fellowship thinking that they've got to go deal with this mess themselves. No, when I'm going through something, I need some other folk who are going to pray
Amen.
Right alongside with me.
Amen.
And then those verses right there says it, is that if there are any two or three gathered together, whatever we bind, the Lord has already taken care of it.
Amen.
So we stay out of the fellowship, but we're not getting what God is saying in that word. So we do take it out of context.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff, preacher. Good stuff. And just the thing of when we're not in that fellowship, God wants us to go get straight. I found that verse I was looking for in Matthew, the fifth chapter in verse 23. It says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way first and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So basically, what God is saying is your blessing from him is being hindered if you're out of fellowship with your brother. I don't think a lot of people get that, because people sometimes can come into church just mean and nasty to four or five people and smile with somebody else, and then they prance up to the altar for the altar call and think that they're going to get their blessing. God said, don't come up here. Don't come up here until you get it straight. Sheila G will tell you, basically, don't come up here. Leave that there. Go get that straight. And then come and get what God has in store for you. Sheila G?
Because he looks at our heart. And God knows your heart. You know, people always say, God
knows
my
heart.
Well, that's it. He knows your heart.
Sure.
And if you have an altar against your brother and you haven't done everything in your power, as it said in the first part of this chapter, to try to reconcile that. And, you know, it's something different if you try to reconcile and then that person doesn't want to reconcile. That's completely different. But if you haven't made that effort and then you're coming to the altar, the Lord is like, I know your heart. I know your heart's not right because you have not made that effort to try to get it straight with your brother or sister, and they still turn their back. At that point, okay, dust off your shoes and keep it moving. So that's why he says get it straight, because you know, it's like our kids, when they're going through stuff, we at least want them to try
Amen.
Before
right.
we help them.
Right.
Them to try, and they still can't get through it. Okay, then I'm going to help you out. But don't come at me and just
right.
say, I can't do it without trying making that effort first.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And it's just so important. You know, we've got to get past, you know, holding stuff on each other. And Peter, after we get through these verses, we'll see about forgiveness and how God, how important forgiveness is. But we've got to get past the point where we're at each other, flesh and blood. That is not of God. That is not of the Spirit of God. And we have to learn to deal with each other as God would deal with each other, with us. God is a unconditional lover. You know, but
right.
We think, and I don't know where we get this from. We think we have the audacity to hold stuff on people for years and years, of attitudes, and be out of fellowship, and think we just prance up in God's house, and you know, it's just gonna be all right. Well, God knows my heart, and that's scary. I believe it was one of the Old Testament prophets said that God knows the heart, and He knows it's desperately wicked. You know, and I think that was Jeremiah, but you got to understand that is not what God has bound and what God has loosed. God has bound anything unforgiveness, and He's loosed forgiveness. And so if we're binding and loosing in this particular instance, God has already bound unforgiveness, and He's loosed forgiveness. And so we have to understand that we're not doing anything in and of our own, but we're actually just lining up with the will of God when we go through church discipline, when we come through reconciliation with our brother and sister, and we get back on one accord and do the word of God. And now God says, now that you're touching and agreeing in this context, you can ask anything and it shall be done for you by my Father that's in heaven. In other words, what's in heaven that's in store for me, now I can see it manifest on earth. And that's the exciting part about God, is that God has so much in store for us spiritually, not only materially, but spiritually, and whatever God has in store for us, whether it's physically, whether it's spiritually, whether it's mentally, in our fellowship with Him and relationship with Him and each other, it's unlimited. It's boundless, and that's the whole thing of His binding and His loosing. And I hope everyone gets an understanding about that God has already bound it and God has already loosed it for us. We just have to get in line with Him, stay in fellowship with each other, stay in relationship with Him, get into His word, follow His word, and anything shall be possible with God. Dr. G?
Well, you know, and another thing, it's something that's really bad, is when you see a couple of Christians mad, and they have the nerve to come into the church, and they bring that junk into the church, and you can tell that, you know, people can feel
in the atmosphere
things are not right. And when you bring that junk into the church without getting it right, you know, it has a habit of kind of jumping from heart to heart. Or if you got folk that, you know, they're going to take sides because of something that was said, you know, that's just as bad. You know, we hinder our own blessings because of holding on to that old junk.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad part about that, and I'm talking about people in the church, you know, we'll go to our grave holding crap. That's ridiculous. And then, you know, like we've already said, you know, we talk about the Lord knows my heart. Well, He does, and we need to realize that until we act what we're supposed to be, the things that we're talking about, you know, when we all get to heaven, a lot of these folks not going to make it into heaven because their hearts are just not right with the Lord.
Amen. And if you go to the book of Acts, that's when the Holy Spirit birthed the church. Acts, the first chapter, and we want to look down at verse 13, and this is the power of being on one accord, not being out of fellowship with each other, not being out of relate with God. This is right after Jesus had ascended up. After He told the church that they should be witnesses unto Him. And if you look down at verse 13, it says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continue one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And when you see they were on one accord, after Peter stood up and delivered this powerful sermon, if you will, in verse 2 it says, in chapter 2 it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is verse 1 of chapter 2, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all on one accord. They were touching and agreeing on one accord in one place. And look at the how the Spirit of God recognized this and honored this. In verse 2 it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And so the power of the Holy Spirit is not going to fall on discord. It's not going to fall on ununity. It's not going to fall on unfellowship. It's not going to make his presence known when we're not on one accord. And so the church has to learn to be disciplined enough to get past our petty differences, to get past the things that so easily beset us, and realize that we on our own can't carry it out, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives for us to be able to carry out what God has left on record for us to do. And once we understand that, and we operate in church discipline, and we operate on one accord, there's nothing that will stand in the way of God's people. God said that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So there's nothing that will prevent us from tearing down the gates of hell, going and witnessing to those that are lost, that they may come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and have it done to God's glory. But we have to be on one accord. We got to get past, I'm mad at you, you mad at me, we just going to disagree, I'm going to sit over here, you sit over here. No, we got to get past that and get to a point to understand that God's not going to bless no mess. He's not going to get in and anoint us and bless us when we're out of fellowship and out of relationship. And we have to get into the Word of God, take it in context, see the whole big picture, study his Word, and understand God wants us to witness to those that are lost, so that when his hand of grace is pulled back during this dispensation, and the dispensation of grace is over, everyone would have had a chance to hear the gospel message. But until the church gets right, that's going to prolong the process, because we fuss and fight, kicking, scratching, doing everything, but being on one accord with what God's will and what God's plan is for our lives. Sheila G.
Amen. And you really do have to be on one accord in order to follow his vision, because we can't see into the future. And by being on one accord, it's like when Jesus knew that he had to go through what he had to go through to die on the cross, and he asked the disciples to go with him to watch and pray. And then, but they fell asleep. But back to what Pastor G was saying, how a lot of times as Christians, instead of us leaning on other Christians so that we can be on one accord to get that pull off to ourselves. And what God is saying, no, I know the enemy. I know the enemy is going to attack you. So that's why I have all these people around you, but you got to be on the same mind, the same accord, following and being obedient
that's
to
right.
me.
That's
so that I have that structure around you to help build you up. But too often, when we go through or we disagree, we want to pull away and just be by ourselves, instead of being on the one accord. So by doing that, we're disconnecting from that power source. When you are on one accord with other people, when you can lean on your brother and sister, when you can say, I don't have my strength right now, my humanness is taking over, and you have someone pray with you, and you come to church, and you all come together, it's not that you have to be happy-go-lucky all the time. You could be unhappy but still have that joy, and let your brothers and sisters lift you up. Jesus and his humanness asked the disciples to go with him, because he knew the hell that he was about to go through. And that's why it's important recognize that God is providing all of these tools for us, but we just don't tap into it.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G, I'm going to meddle a little bit. That's why the Hebrew writer says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I want to go to Hebrews 10:25, and I'm going to let you finish meddling with that, Dr. G. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And it says, not forsaking, and I'm going to go up to verse 24. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, what we were saying, Sheila G., is that we need each other. God has put us in the body of Christ, and so it's important for us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And so, you know, when people pull away from the church and say, I'm going to take time off for the church, I don't need to be with the church, it's not, that's not according to what God has bound and what God has loosed. God has bound and loosed that you can come and that you can worship and you can be in fellowship and you can be encouraged with your brother and sister in Christ who may have gone through something that you have gone through and can help you get through what you're going through. That's why he has put in his word that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And so that's why it's important that we don't pull away, but we continue to have fellowship with each other. We continue to gather corporately in our church settings. But too many times people pull away and they bind and loose what they feel like, and then they're outside of the strength or the tools, like you said, Sheila G., that God has placed in the body of Christ to help and edify and build up the body. Dr. G., I'm going to leave that alone, but we definitely need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Dr. G.?
Well, you know, I think you hit it there, because I heard it on the radio today. Someone was saying that as Christians, we need each other. When I was going through what I was going through this past, 6 months or so, I had to literally lean on my minister of music and my first lady. And through that, I was able to get through it, to get me back to where I'm at now. Because
Amen.
In the human form, you know, we all get tired, we get hurt, and it takes time to heal and get back up on that mountain where we need to be. But if I were to have just stayed home sulking, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to go to prayer, I'm not going to dial in. I mean, all I'm doing is prolonging the hurt. But because I got back up there, and even though I may not have been feeling my best, I was able to lean on others that carry the load.
Amen.
And that's the thing that folk don't understand. You know, we need fellowship. We need the prayer. The Bible says the prayers of the righteous will avail much. We have it in our minds, in these human minds, that, you know, I'm going to take a leave of absence because of something you said or whatever, not realizing that you're yourself and anybody that pulls with you are being hurt. They're not growing. They're not developing. And when you were in the fellowship, you know, you were growing. You may not have been growing as fast the Lord wanted you to, but at least you were making some effort. But we get caught up in our own little mindsets, them attitudes that, you know, we're not where we ought to be, and so we hinder the growth process. And so when we stop completely and just don't go to nobody's church, don't turn into nobody's prayer, I mean, we're not helping ourselves. We're not helping our families, and we're not doing what the Lord tells us to do in His Word.
Amen.
So, you know, I hear this stuff, but as a leader, I've got to go in prayer over them, because people have conditioned in their mind that they have got the way, as they put it, and spend time alone with the Lord. Look, I agree, spending time alone with the Lord is good. But come Sunday morning, I need the fellowship. I need other folks to be on the same wavelength I am.
Amen.
That when I go to church, I go there expecting a blessing.
Amen.
And if others are doing the same, God can come down and meet us.
Yeah.
And all of the problems, they don't seem as big.
That's right.
The issues, mm-hmm. they don't seem to be nothing. But we hurt ourselves when we take that manner of action.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we are moving along in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to go to the studio audience and go to the phone lines. We're going to ask a question tonight. Do you understand the importance of being on one accord in the body of Christ? Go to our studio audience. Big Brother Brandon is in the house tonight.
Understanding the importance of one accord.
Being on one accord in the church. Or being on one accord. Yeah.
Basically like being on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
I'm with you. I do now. That's my answer. I can honestly say that, you know, that was one of the things that I've learned a long time ago, not in the Christian realm, about loyalty. And that's kind of what, you know, I kind of equated to about being on one accord, not just everybody in agreement and understanding what their roles and responsibilities of, but also being loyal and understand that there are going to be some good times and some bad times, but that shouldn't sway your faith or your dedication or your loyalty, not only to the Christ, but, you know, to the members of the church. And I think sometimes as Christians we get sidetracked by it because, you know, I understand loyalty to my friends, loyalty to my parents, but I never really truly understood it, you know, until, you know, I really started getting deeper into my, you know, my Christian walk and understanding that, you know, as you not necessarily graduate, but as you evolve, because, you know, I was always the guy just sitting in the congregation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't really see what was going on behind a pulpit, going on in the pastor study, other stuff. So as I kind of started growing and, you know, came to new birth and actually started, you know, growing and blossoming and becoming the minister of music, I realized, like, okay, there's a lot more to this than just, you know, whatever. And then you have to, you know, responsibilities and recognize in order for you to be successful, your success is predicated off the success of people around you. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. You know, you're always worried about elevating yourself, but you can't do that because most of the time in the process when you're trying to elevate yourself, you're putting others down. But most churches are successful. The successful churches are successful from top to bottom, not just over the pastor, but, you know, the first lady, the members, all the officers. And that's how it should be because they are all on one accord. There's no
right.
I, there's
right.
no, well, you're doing this, I want to do that. Everybody understands it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my role and responsibility. I'm going to take care of what my role is and responsibility is, worry about that, put my effort into that, and knowing that if I need some help or guidance, I have a mechanism in place to do that. And that's what being on one accord is about. And also recognizing, as Pastor alluded to, recognizing when something's wrong and taking the individual initiative to do something about it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to waiting for your boss, or in this case, the pastor or somebody in an officer position to tell you. You know, being on one accord is being able to feel things and kind of recognize and being able to say, okay, if there's a gap here, let me step in
right.
and fill in to keep the ship running. Because, you know, Pastor did talk about those Sundays where, you know, the numbers weren't what they were, but guess what? Everybody grabbed another hat or two or
that's
three,
right.
and
right.
we made sure that, you know, there were ushers at the door, there were deacons, music was still being played, a couple people had to volunteer for prayer. I think a couple of those Sundays I read scripture, which was a good lesson for me. I never really had a chance to
right.
to
right.
read scriptures and, you know, picking out songs with Sheila Gregory. But, you know, even in the midst of that,
mm-hmm.
it was still an opportunity to grow, to learn, and to realize that, you know, in the midst of when things are down is when you truly really see, you know, who's with you in the fight and who's also willing to do what it takes. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not too comfortable doing much more than playing a piano, but if I see the numbers are low and pastor's sitting there like whatever, I'm like, hey, look, it may not be how you want it to, but I'm gonna pray about it. I'm gonna get there. We're gonna get it done. You know, I'm nervous, but guess what? I'm gonna still get up there and do it. And that's what it's all about. Not making it about yourself. Not saying, well, I'm scared or I'm uncomfortable. You realize that there's a bigger purpose to it and there's a bigger calling to it. And that's what being on one accord is about. Not everybody having their own individual agenda or things have to be perfect in order for you to stay in the church or to volunteer to want to do something or just, you know, being asked to do anything. You do it because you recognize it, and you do it mainly because you realize that it's not about you. It's about uplifting God's kingdom.
Amen.
But I truly myself didn't learn that until, be honest with you, until things started kind of getting a little shaky and rocky, and I also found out how strong my faith was, but most importantly, also found out a little bit about myself in that as well, to say, you know what, you asked me a couple months ago, I probably would have gave a different answer, but I'm actually doing it and doing it without thinking. I'm not thinking, I'm reacting, so I know God is in the midst, and I've definitely grown, because now when I do things, it's an automatic response. It's not I have to think about it or do something. I do that, and I truly think that's because I myself have taken the individual initiative to make sure I'm on one accord with my pastor, make sure I'm on one accord with First Lady, make sure I'm on one accord with the musicians, staying in my lane and understanding that this is what I've been tasked to do and be passionate about doing it. But I think one accord from a church standpoint to me basically means everybody does their part, even though it may be a separate problem with the next person's doing, but you're all still working in unison towards something, kind of like a football team. You're a team, but you got people that block, you got people that run the ball, you got the head coach, you got whatever. They all do different things. Guess what? It's still all towards the same mission, to get to the end zone, or in this case, to get to heaven. That's what it is. So pastor leads, First Lady backs him up, we keep the music going, people pray, people, usher. That's what it is. And as long as people stay in their lane and recognize that no matter how big or small you feel your role is, all the roles have equal value and equal importance. And if you recognize that, then as a church, you can continue to grow. And then when you have tough times, and you will have tough times, you'll be able to bond together, get closer, and realize that faith is going to get you through it, but it's also the dedication. Don't run away from God when things get shaky or weary, or when you realize that you're going to be asked to do some things. You band together. You become stronger. Yeah. You band together, and you get through it together.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good stuff. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to phone lines. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I understand about being on one accord. There are different in the church. There are different gifts. There are different talents. There are many members, but just one body. And when we do the best with what God has given us, then we can work for His glory, and others are being edified through that. And there are times when we might have to do something that is a little bit we're not comfortable with.
That's right.
But God will give us that faith and that knowledge to do it. And it might not be as good as somebody else, but if we are doing it for God's glory, then He is pleased with it. So as long as we remember that we don't have to be the superstar to think that we have to do everything in the church, because God has given His church what His church needs. And the Holy Spirit gives us what we need and what He wants us to do, and for His glory. And that's the most important thing. That whatever we do it for God's glory. And even if sometime we feel within ourselves that we have come short, be patient.
That's right.
And others be patient with us, because not us was born with all of this. It's a growth process.
That's right.
And every day we are growing.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3658. 3658, you are on the air.
Hello, and how is everyone?
Hi.
And I take, for me, when you talk about being on one accord, I think about when the word says when the day of Pentecost came and they were all one accord. One accord for me is a spiritual thing. It's that we're all on one accord to be servants of God, to uplift His temple, His kingdom. It's not about what your talent is. It's not about how you feel about me personal. It's not about big eyes or little ease. It's about we're all on one accord because we're there for one purpose, and that purpose is to worship and praise God. I think too many times we as Christian, we lose track and we lose sight of our real purpose. I don't care who can sing the loudest. I don't care who can preach the best. One accord is being joined together to stand up and tell the world about a man named Jesus. One accord is to leave that mess at the door. It's not to worry about why you didn't come to church, but that you're here now and we're calling on Jesus and we're welcoming him in. When we all get on one accord, when that day will truly come, the blessings that go out and come in and that will be manifested, we have to take out that human part and allow that spiritual part to come in and realize we all have one goal, to serve God and to make heaven our home. That's what I believe one accord is about. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right. We got a few more minutes. We're going to go to the next caller, 7971. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Everything that relates to being on one accord, it has been spoken this evening, and there were good responses that really explain in detail what one accord is when you're talking about church, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit in God's house. It's when you can go into the house of the Lord, and everybody knows their position. Everybody's lined up with what the pastor or the leader has set out for us to do, or what God's word has set out for us to do, when we can go in there in unity and recognize what our responsibilities are, and you can sit back and be comfortable that we are on one accord with each other in the Holy Spirit that's going to lead us in the directions where we are supposed to go.
Amen.
From the front door to the back door, from the pulpit to the back door, we know what we are supposed to do. Our conduct, our respect for one another, anything goes wrong, it may go wrong, but nobody know it but us.
Amen.
Because we know where we are supposed to be. We're in position to make it be right, and it's never recognized. That's being on one accord. It's like going into a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there. You know if you don't have the facts. You know if you don't have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, it's going to be a mess, and somebody's going to lose.
Amen.
When you go to serve the Lord, if you're not prepared, if you haven't done your homework, if the preacher didn't study the word, if he didn't have whoever makes up the program did not have it the way it's supposed to be, if the ushers are not in position, it entails a lot of things for you to be on one accord. But we as Christians, for some reason, God allows us to get it all together, and when we come together, we are on one accord according to God's word, according to the Holy Spirit. And you can feel it. And you hear people say, the Holy Ghost is in here.
Yeah.
You feel the Spirit of God in here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We are thinking the same. We know it for ourselves that it's going to be just the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
That's, you can feel when God is in the house. And everything is in order, regardless of how bad it may seem. Nobody knows it but God. And when you can perform and do his will at all times with a smile on your face, knowing, Lord, we came a long way, but we made it.
Amen.
It turned out all right.
Sure did.
And that's what it means when he said, when two or more are together, he's in the mix with us.
Yes, he is.
And we carry it out exactly the way he says it's to be done. We're on one accord. There won't be no mistakes. There won't be no misunderstandings. Because we know what's best, and he knows what's better for us.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We got another caller. We're going to go to the last four digits, 2194. You're on there. 2194. All right. Go to the next caller, 9772. 9772, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody. I know we are always on the court. I don't know what church y'all go to. I only got two churches I go to, and I know I ain't got but a big affair, a family for us, but we all together, always a court. My family is always good to us. Both my church I go to. And when I don't go get to church, I'm upset and I'm mad all day. I'm evil because I miss my church going to. All right, so I'm from Chicago. I know every nut and bolt and hole in the wall. Now, it's all torn up now, but now I don't know about Maryland or Virginia or Washington, D.C. I don't know about this place, but I'm trying to find. And if I miss my church, my second church, then I'm upset all together. So I know we got one accord. Kind of way we can. I don't know where y'all find any little ugly people, but I got a beautiful family.
Amen.
My family is not ugly at all.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
All right. All right. Thank you for your comment today. All right. We're going to, we got one more caller. We're going to wrap it up. Let's see. We're going to go to 8272. 8272, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, this is Missy.
Hi,
y'all. Oh, my gosh, I just must say I've really been missing out. This Bible study lesson tonight really fed my spirit. And I must agree with my pastor about being on one accord, you know, getting into the Word of God. You know, it means something when you call in for prayer. When you do Bible study, you know, and when you fellowship on Sunday, like, you know, it's good, yeah, to listen to the word on TV or on the radio, but it's nothing like being in that atmosphere of other Christians like you, who's on a spiritual walk, you know, and trying to get their life in order for Christ.
Amen.
And fellowshipping with other people, like, that is the best feeling in the world. And I totally agree about being on one accord, because when you on one accord, when everybody comes together and on the same page, things run smoothly, whether it's at work, whether it's at home. Like I tell my kids all the time, especially my 7-year-old, I always tell him, teamwork makes the dream work.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Even us as Christians, we are a team. We are a family. You know, we
Amen.
Are on the run for Christ. We want to be Christ-like. And that is our job, to help one another, to minister to people who do not know about Christ. I was so happy when the two young ladies I brought to church Sunday, they decided to give their life back to Christ. They got on the prayer
Amen.
Line with me last night. They wasn't able to do Bible study tonight because they had work and school.
Right.
But if they
All
could,
right.
they would have been on here tonight as well.
Amen.
And, oh, my gosh, I kept telling myself, I need to get more discipline to do Bible study. I need to get more discipline. And I know it don't be nobody but the devil stopping me. But I did not let him take control tonight. And I must say, like, this word really helped me better in my spiritual walk. It's helping me learn my Bible more and everything. So this topic, being on one accord, that was the most best, realest topic ever, because you can use that in your day-to-day life.
Man.
Other than just, you know, the church atmosphere. You know, you can use that, like I said, in your workplace, school, within your home, everywhere you go, being on one accord. It just allows things to go smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we got one more caller. We're going to go to one more caller. Last four digits, 1934. 1934, you're on there.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm very glad that I was able to join in tonight on our Bible study, because this is really, really a blessed service that we're having. I, too, believe in being one accord, because we have to be on one accord, and we have to serve God, because he says two or three of us get together and be of one accord, that he'll be there for us. And we believe what the Bible tells us. And he does say that in the Bible. We believe it. And I like that pastor say, if we are in the will of God, and each one of us are there, like Sunday I missed, but I heard that everybody had such a wonderful time, and that just one program can let you know what being all together on one thing, how good this is. Spirit can rise in that church and feel so good. Because I feel bad when I can't get to church. It bothers me.
Yeah.
Like I say, God knows your heart, but you get punished for not going to church all the time. I think when you can't do it, you don't know how to do it. Just thank God that you know his word, know something. And I'm still growing. Don't make no difference how old you get. You still can learn more and more. And I thank you for this class that I've come tonight on this phone. I haven't been able to do it, but I've got to get doing it more this way, since it's the way that I can do it. I'm not able to get out all the time.
Amen.
And the will, I think sometimes my children, I've always tried to keep them in the Christ some kind of way. But sometimes we get in the will of God, we can get in the will of God and get in his way. And I just up, man, let him do what he needs to do, because
Amen.
Here he is. I give him to him, I prayed for him, and I gave it to him, asked him to take care of him and lead him and guide him in whichever way he want him to go. Not my will, but his. So I'm through with that now. I just pray for him and let it go. And it'll work out for me, because I believe that what Jesus say. If I bring them to him, they may be too young. And I believe when they get old, they'll get back to it. And I believe, and I thank you all very much.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
That's Mother Parish.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, Dr. G, that's going to be our time tonight. Prayerfully, we got everyone on the line. If not, we'll get you on next time. But Sheila G, Dr. G, we'll close us out. Any last comments and a word of prayer?
Well, the only thing I can say is I go back to Sunday again. That was just an example of when people get together, it doesn't matter what the name of your church is or what the name of my church is.
Yeah.
When we are all there on one accord, the power of God will reveal himself. And the Lord will show up and show out. But until we understand that it's not about what we think or what we may be going through, but when we come to the fellowship, you come with the purpose of glorifying the Lord. And if that's your goal, God will meet you there. But you've got to leave all that other junk aside. You know, we all go through things, and life gets rough for everybody. But I tell you what, come Sunday mornings, I'm excited about getting back to fellowship, because I know that the Lord is going to meet me there.
Amen.
So with that being said, we're going to ask everyone just to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for another evening and your word. Lord, we thank you for allowing that word to jump out at us and become real. Father, we pray now that we will continue to grow and learn and become better and better as we listen to that word, we study your word. Father, help us now that we can grow stronger in our faith and our belief in you. Lord, I thank you for the topic tonight. Thank you for these verses. And Lord, I'm praying that others have gotten that dose, Lord, that will help them to carry them until Sunday. Father, we thank you for the fellowship. We thank you that you reminded us that we need each other, that we can't do this thing alone. And Father, above anything and everything else, we need you. Lord, I thank you for what we've got going now, and I'm praying that you would continue to multiply this Bible study line.
Yes.
And Father, I pray that others will call in and be blessed by it. Lord, we thank you. We ask it all right now. By the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you next Thursday night. Good night.